in a portion of Chukat. When a portion of Chukat, as we all know, Chukat is talking, it starts, the conversation begin about Para Aduma, about red heifer. And we know we need to expand the whole concept of red heifer, which is the most, basically, one area is one of those things that everything you want to ask your rabbi and you didn't know and you will never get an answer for that. So please challenge me on that. Go to your rabbi, ask him that question. What's the purpose of red heifer? If they tell you, I would like to meet your rabbi, because they're not going to tell you. Then we are talking about Moses and Miriam die, this weak portion, tough. People complain, as usual. Moses and Aaron been told by God, take the staff, talk to the rock, get the water out of the rock. And Moses talked to the rock and hit the rock. It seemed a mistake. God said, you're never going to go to Israel, neither you or Aaron. Tough, tough portion. Now is Moses by himself. Aaron died this weak portion. Miriam died this weak portion. Try to imagine the loneliness of Moses alone in the desert with a lot of people there that not necessarily will understand it. It's not easy without support group. And every time that they fight him, he doesn't even answer back. And then unfortunately, people get punished and die. And then they come to him. So fear is the way that the Israelites find God. Fear, fear. And then they get scared, they die, they go to Moses. Moses pray for them. The disease go away, and then everybody stay alive. That's the portion, rough parsha. I know. As we're getting to almost to July, that's when the rough parsha start next week. Balak, after Pinchas, heavy, everything is heavy. You know, not easy. But we need to make sure that we, before we start understanding the red heifer and the rest of the portion, we must understand what causing a person spiritually to be afraid, what causing a person spiritually to be in awe, and what causes a person to be in love with the Creator. Because the purpose of life is truly that we'll be in love with the Creator. It doesn't seem like, what can I say? In a nice way, without judging anybody, it doesn't seem like the universe is going in that direction, you know, to be in love with the Creator. People are in love with their addiction, not even with themselves. People are not even in love with themselves. They're in love with the lust or what they want. I want it now, like my dog. You know, when the dog sees me with the peanut butter, he's in love with me. That, I'm still looking for love dog. Those of you who know dog who can love you unconditionally with no food, I'm looking for one, okay? People told me before I get this dog, dog has unconditional love. Let me tell you, those of you about to get a dog, it's not true. They don't have unconditional love. They have unconditional love when you have food, okay? Yes, when you have your pain around you because you're more vulnerable to give you the food. So, but eventually, there is really no unconditional love, and people who want to challenge me on that, all those dog lovers, please reach out to me and let me know and teach me. Maybe I'm missing something, all right? It's got to be me. And if you're judging me, you have the right to judge me. But going back to our subject here, in my spiritual journey, which is many, many years ago, when it started, you know, I met all type of people in my life. I met people who are afraid of the divine, people who are excited about the divine from a respectful point of view, and then I met the people who are in love with the divine. And the last one, there were not a lot of people like that, that in love with the divine. I think this one person. I can tell you his name. I can tell you where he lives in Brooklyn. His name is Mr. Parnas. I call him Rabbi Parnas. He called himself Mr. Parnas. I call him Rabbi Parnas. The reason I call him Rabbi Parnas because every time I saw him, he teach me something. And I met him on a subway during Hanukkah on the way to Brooklyn. And I remember I had a conversation with him on Kabbalah while we're standing in the subway. And he's a Hasidic guy with the payas and shtreimel and everything. You know, the people that a lot of people judge usually until you have a conversation. And I talked to him. And he always said, before you talk to me, I think If you talk to me in the subway, I owe you Dvar Torah. I owed you something for the Torah. And then he tells me something new. And then another. And then a third. I said, wow, this guy's unbelievable. I said to him, you heard about Kabbalah? I said, oh, Kabbalah, I love Kabbalah. Then I said, can I talk to you about it? Come to your house? I said, of course you come to my house. I'm the richest person. I'm the happiest person. I am the most blessed person. I don't know if you know Williamsburg. I'm talking about 20-something years ago. There's an apartment building. Tall, long, you know, small apartment, and it smells bad. It's cheap. It's very poor. People live there. And many doors on every floor. I don't know if you know that feeling when you can hear, whoa, that you hear yourself walking. It's condensed, and the light, not good. So that's what I'm going. I'm going to his house. I want to know the secret of this guy. What's his secret? Why is he so happy? Why is he so in love with God? What's the secret? He let me in. Show me his Chanukiah. Then I see one kid on the floor. A kid with mental disability. And another kid with mental disability in the crib. My heart is broken for a guy who teach me happiness, Torah, how to connect to God with love. Everything is from God, but that's a lot. So then he take me to the crib. He said, come with me. I said, do you see these kids? He said, the parents couldn't accept that that's the destiny, so I adopted that kid. I'm looking like. And then he look at the corner, the one on the floor. He say, yeah, that's my daughter. And then I have other 5 kids. And he talk about it with love. I cannot do what he does because I'm not in that level. And I say, I hold him. I said, I'm going to challenge this guy. I'm going to make him. It's like I was so upset that I'm not that level. I said, I'm going to upset him now. I'm going to upset him right now. And he's going to get upset with me. And then I know he's normal. I want him to be normal. And the guy don't want to get upset. Doesn't get upset. Doesn't matter what I do. I tell him, listen, I have this book I want to sell you. It's going to be very expensive for you. That's a price. That's it. He said, okay. Can I do payment? I don't have the money. Whatever you ask, I'm supposed to do. I know God sent you here. So, and then I look at him. I broke down. I said, is nothing bother you? I'm not rude to you. I'm not speaking not nice to you. I said, no, that's how God wants you to speak to me. So when then I start crying. I said, who are you, Mr. Panas? Rabbi Panas. And the reason I'm telling you this story, because I had a good conversation with Debbie, and we start talking about spiritual journey. And Debbie say that a lot of time people look at spiritual journey and they try to be righteous, or they try to be holy, and they try to be special. But those people, so much trying that in the end of their life, they actually never made it. Why? Because they're busy with what's wrong with them. All day long, they beat themselves up. I did this. I was jealous yesterday. I gave an evil eye here. I think I stole a quarter here. And they beat themselves up. Try to imagine a waitress. You go to a fancy restaurant. She pour the water that she brought to your table on your pants. You are angry with her. She's upset with herself for what she did. The entire dinner, she apologizing for what she did. You said, can I see the menu? So no, first I have to apologize. How does that feel? Terrible, right? When you work on yourself and beat yourself up, you not let the customer or God in that sense to look at the menu. You're not offering your goodness. We all have goodness and we all have bad. If you beat yourself up so bad that you no longer see the good, you cannot worship God from love. You're going to worship God from hatred. You're going to worship God from fear. You're going to worship God from, I'm scared. And this is asked to change. Thank you, Debbie. And that's what Debbie showed me yesterday. Saved my life with the understanding that I heard it many times, but to hear it again and base it on some study that, and the study go like this. You know, a servant who serve is a rabbi, is teacher, his mentor, whatever you want to call it, when he's busy with what's wrong with them, with himself or herself, they no longer can serve their mentor, rabbi, master, whatever you want to call it, with honor, because they're busy with what's wrong with them. You can't do that. And that's what they turn into pleasing. That's what they turn into, how can I please, how can I please, how can I please? Because I want to hide what's wrong with me. But while you're busy hiding what's wrong with you, and you try to please me, you're still not with me. You give me, but you're not with me. You give me the coffee, not because you care about me. You give me the coffee because you want to feel good. If you care about me, you would not be busy with what's wrong with you. And this is what we want to achieve in this week portion. We want to achieve a level of excitement about what's good about me. And every person this week have to make a list of what's good about you. Why God created you? God did a mistake? Forget about all the things that you do. Okay? Forget about it. You know, you did this wrong thing. We all do wrong thing. Nobody in this world still alive doesn't do mistake. We're going to do more mistake today. Not tomorrow. Today you're going to do mistake. But still, did you find the good things within you? If you find the good within you, through that, you can worship God with love. Only can find a good thing within you, you can truly worship God with love. But if you all day long find what's wrong with you, you're going to be busy with yourself. And I know, during Rosh Hashanah, you have Chatan or Pashan, you have to read your heart and say to God, what's wrong with you? Yes, it's a time of din. It's a time of judgment in Rosh Hashanah. And you have to deal with what? Your negativity. But look at it right now. Look at that revolution that Debbie showed me yesterday. That's revolution. When you do Chatan or Pashan, you can do two things of what I'm asking for. Repentance, for tshuva. You can say, I'm sorry for not getting excited about my spiritual work, or I'm sorry for all the bad things I did. Again, let me repeat. I am sorry that I wasn't excited about showing you the menu, or I'm sorry for the ice that I spill on your pants. Two levels. I will work with the waiters to tell me I'm sorry I didn't show the menu, because I wanna talk to you. So when you come to God and say, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do, I waste too much time, I didn't study enough. How much can you say that? Are you going to study right now? No. So stop. It's fake. It's pleasing. It's fake. So what can you do? Oh, change. What are you good at? You know, some people are good at certain things. You know, there is this show, MasterChef, that you see on TV. I think it's on TV, MasterChef. Is it here? MasterChef, is it America? So there is, in Israel, MasterChef too. But in Israel, they make fun of the chef. I love it. You know, the chef actually talk about each other. I love that part. I don't know why they don't do it here. And one of the chef is lazy. He cannot start doing anything before 11 a.m. It's a weird. Like, and everybody tell him, listen, if you want to learn some stuff, you got to come in the morning. There's some secret stuff. We're doing together. You have to show up. And I love the arguments. They say, that's not what I'm good at. I'm good in this. I'm not. This is the one area I will never be good. So I look at it. I show it to them. I said, wow, this is unbelievable. He accepts the fact of the area where he's not good at, but he knows where he's good. Do you know where you're good? Focus on that. Now take that. That's what you take it to Hashem. That's what you take it to God. That's what you take it to the Creator. That's really what it needs to be. You cannot all day long, chatanu, pashanu, what's wrong with me, what's wrong with me. Yes, you have a lot of things wrong with you, but what are you good at? Tell me this one thing you're the best. You're the best. Give me your best piece. You know? Like in MasterChef, they tell you your best dish right now. Yeah, but I'm not that good. Get out of here. They don't want to talk to you anymore. The same thing with God. Don't talk to God about how bad you are all day long, because it's boring. It's no love there. But if you talk to God, hey, listen to me. So when I have, let's say, customer or something like that, you know, all those things, I'm not good. There's nothing to work with them. They're pleasing me. They try to impress me. So when you talk to God, you can do it. Same way, you can do it. You're full. That's why there is three levels to work to worship God. Fear, respect, and love. This generation has to work on love. That's what we're born to do. We're always going to be a sinner. We're not going to be as pure as Moses. We're not going to be as holy as Rabbi Shimon. Get used to it. If you're a woman, you're not going to be as holy as Sarah. You're not going to be as pure as Rahab. Forget about it. Just give it up. Okay? This dream, give up. Now focus. What can you be? Well, you can love the Creator toward your good things. So when you cook something for your friend, you put all your love in it. You bring coffee, all your love. You give a ride, all your love. That's the test of this generation. What's missing in this generation? You look around you. I mean, you don't need me to tell you. What's missing? Connection. People are not connect. You know, you see it even, somebody told me they went to a music festival in Miami. It was disconnect. It was space. He called it space, my friend. It was a space between people. So what do you mean space? It was space, Eliyahu. It's not the COVID, he tell me. It was not connected. We use alcohol, we use drugs, he said, we use everything. Still people not like a puzzle. You look at puzzle, the pieces match. You know what I'm talking about? There is pieces. But here, it's not connected. What happened? People are working on themselves, the spiritual one. They beat themselves up. What's wrong with me? I'm too jealous. I have too much lust for food and sex. I have too much thinking. What's happened to my brain? Shame on me. Shame on me. Boom, boom, boom. They hit the head. Then what left for spirituality? Zero. So please, this week portion, we're going to read why, has to do with purify yourself, but not just in physical way or in a thought way. Understand you have a lot of good things to offer the universe. Make a list of all the good things which are good about you and start making that list apply to the universe. Whatever you're good at, everybody good in something. You came here with a gift and you got to share that gift. You cannot be fake like you share your gift and it's not your gift. You cannot do that because that becomes pleasing. That's the definition of pleasing. When you give, but you actually want to receive. Definition of giving, you're born with a gift. You want to share it. Don't forget this. Anyway, I want to jump right into the Zohar. It's going to be a little bit deep. And it's talking about Para Aduma, red heifer. What is a red heifer? Basically, a cow, okay, that was never used to carry anything on it. It was a very special condition to that cow to be totally pure and kosher. And it's only used by burning that cow, basically. I mean, don't burn it alive, but burn that cow. And the ashes from that cow has been used to purify all type of negativity you're ever going to have. 9 of them will use, and the 10th one will be used when the Messiah will come. The last one will be when the Messiah will come. That's the last one. That's why all people consider not pure, because we cannot purify our body. We cannot purify our body because we don't have red heifer and we don't have high priest. So when you go into hospital, you become impure. Why? Because there are dead people in the basement. There are dead people. So wherever you go to wherever there's dead people, you're already impure. So all of us are considered not pure in the eyes of God. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. Okay? When the Messiah will come, they will burn the last cow. That will be the 10th one, 10th Sefirot. Now you know why, because those of you who know Sefirot from Keter till Yesod was the 9 Sefirot. Malchut is in the end. Malchut, the bottom. We didn't fix Malchut yet. That's what we are. Look at us, stuck together. Chatanu Pashanu. We got to fix that cow. And fixed. That's only when Messiah will come. Why Messiah? Because Malchut is the one area that it cannot be dealt with until Messiah will come. I cannot tell you a lot about it. You can find it in my lecture of Tikkun HaZohar. Now, I need to take you now to the Zohar, to Rav Ashlag, actually, in the Zohar. And Rav Ashlag asks, what is this red heifer? Why when you go to any rabbi, and please challenge me, I'm repeating, challenge your rabbi, challenge me. The way you can challenge me is to tell me, we found a rabbi who can explain Para Aduma, red heifer. Unfortunately, most rabbis say if it's written Chukah, and they write about it from the Pshat point of view, Chukah means that's the law, you don't ask any question. But the Zohar asks, Rabbi Isaac Luria asks, Kabbalists ask questions, even give an answer. So it doesn't mean there is no answer. It means if you don't study the Torah the way God wrote it, there is no answer. If you study the Torah has 4 levels. Atzilut, for emanation, the way God wrote the Torah. Okay? The way God wrote the Torah is Atzilut. Meaning there is no story in the Torah at all. When you read story, it's not really a story, it's all codes. And you need to break the code to Tikkun HaZohar, to the Zohar. You got to break the code to the Ari. You got to break the code. When you read the Torah, the most people read in Asiya, in the world of action, it's at the bottom. When you read it in the bottom, then the Torah is more about story, Laban, Esav, Jacob, Abraham, Adam and Eve. Those are stories. The stories are just clothing to the real meaning of the Torah. But you cannot get the real meaning by reading Asiya Torah. It's a joke. Pinocchio will sound better. I'm sorry to insult. I'm not saying those words. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say it like this, whoever read the Torah the way it is, you know what he said? Tifach ucha, may die. It's very scary, right? Yeah, parashat balotcha, poshel balotcha. He cursed the people who read the Torah the way it is. So for years, I'm, Rabbi Shimon, like, let's relax here. I cannot say that Rabbi Shimon is relaxed, Rabbi Shalom, but why? Because he's the most merciful person in the world to speak like this. What does that mean? And he says it's an insult to the writer. When you don't try to understand the writer, which is God, it's an insult. Because you think they talk about Red Heifer. I mean, come on. Like he said, come on. So he said, can you make an effort to study and understand what's really God meant? And now you're going to go deep. So, oh my God, this is a different story. You know? So now, I'm going to try to explain it the best way I can. Okay, this is Kabbalah. This is pure Kabbalah. And when I say pure Kabbalah, it's meaning a little bit deeper than the usual just restriction and right and left and center and God bless America kind of, you know, Kabbalah, you know. Pirush, explanation. This is Rav Ashlag pure about the Zohar. And for me, Rav Ashlag, just to let you know, Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag for me is the Messiah himself. You know, when I talk Rav Ashlag, when I'm in Rav Ashlag, it's for me the Messiah. Why is the Messiah? Because how? How in 1930 you can come up with a deep explanation like this that works explanation from 2,000 years ago? How do you do that? You have to be a prophet from 2,000 years ago to get to that level of explanation. Just unbelievable. Him, Rav Brandwein, the Ari, when he go to that, and he bring a lot of things from the Ari, it's something else. So that's why when I go to Israel, you see me excited. Of course I get excited. I meet the Messiah, he just covered. He covered himself for me. He doesn't want to meet me because I'm not yet in that level yet. I'm not in love the way he was in love. You know, that's what we're missing. This person was in love. His Torah was in love. He was in love with the Torah. He was not afraid of God will kill him. And they didn't care. How old was Rabbi Isaac Luria when he died? 38 years old. Was he sick all his life? Yes. Yes. Kidney stone, hernia, every disease in the book. And he wasn't. I'm giving you the main student of the Baal Shem Tov was sick all his life. He went to see the Baal Shem Tov to get cured. Never get cured. Become the head of all Hasidim. So, don't talk to me about, you know, I love when people come and say, I'm spiritual, my life will be good, make more money and my golf game get better. Stop with that. It's not about that. It's about loving the Creator. Paraduma, Red Heifer. Pirush. Kvar yadata shesh bet matzavim malchut. There is two levels within malchut. I need to explain to you, so I'm not going to leave you behind. Don't worry. One is kmo shaita biyom dalet demaseh bereshit. One level of malchut is how malchut was. And I'm sorry for the people at home. It might be a little bit deeper. Please listen to it 3-4 times. Listen to it carefully. First, כמו שהייתה ביום דלת במעשה בראשית. First is how מלכות was in the fourth day of creation. בסוד הכתוב, בית מאורות הגדולים. If you look at the fourth day of creation, you're going to see that God created the sun and the moon in the same day, שהיו זר אנפים מלכות מלבישים בית קווי הבינה. But when God talking about the sun and the moon, he doesn't truly talk about the sun and the moon. The sun represents the Zeher Anpin, and the moon represents Malchut. What does that mean? Bina, which is a higher level sphira, was sharing the energy to the Zeher Anpin and Malchut. The Zeher Anpin is right column, Malchut is left column. Malchut kaf small the Bina. So that means on Wednesday, the sun and the moon were equal. It was not different. Zeher Anpin Malchut was equal. Not like in our time, the Malchut is below Zeher Anpin. Not like in our time when the moon get light that reflect to us that come from the sun. So right now, it's not the same whatever happened on the beginning of Wednesday. The second aspect of Malchut, so that's the first. So the first aspect of Malchut, when Malchut and Zeher Anpin are equal and both receive direct light from Bina. Second level, לאחר מיעוט, הירח. Second level of מלכות is after the moon becomes smaller. I don't know if you know. The Midrash say that God said to the moon, you know, if you complain why there is two rulers in one heaven, why don't you make yourself smaller? It doesn't mean a punishment. It means the מלכות has to become smaller. והייתה למטה מזהר אנפין, וקבלת ממנו. Then what happened as a result? מלכות start to receive energy no longer from בינה, only directly from זהר אנפין. ויש למעלה, מעלה במצב א' יותר במצב ב'. So there is good things about the first condition better than the second. Because in the first condition, מלכות was complete, receiving the light directly from the source of Bina, not need Zeher Anpin. The bad thing about it, if you do it this way, then Malchut receiving light, it's called Chochmah, light of wisdom, without light of mercy. And then light of wisdom cannot shine without light of mercy. So it's darkness, even there is intensity of blessing is there. So you don't want blessing to be in your life without you can enjoy it. That's called Chochmah without Chasadim. And we call it darkness. And there is good in the second condition. When Malchut receiving from Zer Anpin, then you can reveal the little bit that you have. So yes, you don't receive as much as light as you receive from Bina. You receive very little. And through that, you reveal a little bit of yourself. What is that connect to the red effer? Red effer. Now, first let me write to you. How does that connect? When you write para, that's how you write para. Para means cow. Okay? Cow. So as you can see, in the word para, okay, 280, and this is 5. Okay? This is stand from something called Mantzapach. Mantzapach is the 5 final letters, say the Ari, of the Hebrew alphabet. Last Mem, last Nun, last Tzadik, last Pei, last Kaf. Hebrew letters, 22 letters, plus 5 final letters. 5 final, which means if you write the Mem in the end of a word, it will be looking like this. You write the Nun in the end, look like this. You write the Tzadik in the end, look like this. So in the end of every word, look like this. What does those letters do? They are the letter that we lost in Mahamad Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, for immortality, for rejuvenation of who we are. 5 is the amount of letters. You see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are the 5 letters. So para, red effer, mean the color red, I don't need to tell you. Red mean strong left column, which is, in a way, light of wisdom. So para aduma, is said to us, the Zohar, and this is from the Ari, para aduma, red effer, okay, is the condition A. What was condition A? When the Malchut used to receive light directly from Bina, it's dangerous. So that's left column of Bina, there is intensity of light, and only the spiritual, righteous, pure, holy people can survive. I'm not thinking some of us are part of this, any group like that. So how do you survive? Okay? So what do we do with the red effer? I think I told you. We burn it. What do you burn? Exactly. You burn this left column. Because why are you burning that left column? What is the idea? It say like this. I'm reading now from verse 24 in the Zohar of Chukat. ומשום שכל דינים התחתונים וכל אלו הבאים מצד התומה מקבלים כוחם ממלכות. Why do you think you commit a sin? Why? Where do you have the desire to commit a sin? Where does it come from? Did you ever ask yourself? You're doing something wrong, you know it's wrong, and you're doing it anyway. What's wrong with you? You idiot. You know it's bad for you, and you're still doing it. Like my friend showed me on the cigarette when they smoke. I don't know what it say there, but surgeon or something, forbidden to smoke. And he looked at it, said, I can't believe I'm still doing it. And he smoked. It's written bad news there, very bad news. And he lighted. What happened? Because from the Malchut, remember, when Malchut used to be in the A, which will receive all the light, the negativity loved to your neck. It's almost, your neck means breastfeeding. The negativity is like breastfeed from that area that used to get a lot of light and they want to get that light. Who they use? The loser. Who's the loser? Human. Us. They give us, in your idea, some idea to steal, to kill, to cheat, to be not nice, to scream, to get angry, to be jealous. And through your emotions of feeling that, you become greedy, selfish, evil, pleasing. And then you go and you do the wrong thing, and then they get benefit. That's how they get the benefit. So, when you burn the red effer is a symbol that you burn that channel of light, source of strong light that can go to negativity. Okay? כיוון שעושים מעשה האי של שריפת הפרה, when you burn it, here in the physical world, כל הדין הזה נעשה במקום הזה, פרה הזו, this is only doing it in this world, but it's not really what we want. Then we can weaken the power of the left column, and through that weaken the power of selfishness and weaken the power of the impure system that are chasing us to be used as a agent to bring them light. And then they leave the human being, and then the human being become pure. So the human being cannot be ever become pure without red effort. Cannot. So why we call it Medida? Why do we call it the water of Nida, the water of period?
Impurity.
Huh?
Impurity.
The water of impurity. And by the way, if you want to know the halakha, the law, the one who purified you become impure, and the one who's impure become pure. It's a weird thing going on here. So the one who comes pure is a very holy person. He does it to you, he become impure because he touched it. He touched it, you know? So right away. So it's never end. You get to pure somebody. Some commentaries say because if you feel pure, you become impure. If you feel impure, you become pure. It's kind of cute. So when you mix it with the water, so he's telling us, Rabbi Shimon, in verse 25, Leta'er sha'olam shore badin. You not only purify the human being. This thing in your conscience, when you read it this week in the Torah, you have to think that the whole world will become pure from that desire. You think you can fix yourself not to have lust. You think you can fix yourself from not having that negativity. You can. You need a light. You need something to come and help you. כאן נחלו כל מיני תומה וכל מיני תארה. בשום זה תומה ותארה אין כלל עליון של הרבה. דור חברים, אמרה שבשול על הזר עשית שלא בגלל דברים חבריך. או חומה של בושה בדרכת, בשול לומר דברים. So, Rabbi, actually, that was said by Rabbi Shimon San. I'm sorry, I said Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon San, Rabbi Lazar. So, Rabbi Shimon listened to his son talking. And you know what he told him in the end? He said to him, there is a problem in the words you're saying. He said, Father, what have I done? He said, Rabbi Shimon said to him, son, Lazar, his name is Lazar. Lazar is very next to Rabbi Shimon in the Quran. Sita, shalom yivorach, I said, you did something now that nobody can speak after you. Because what you say now is so high and so perfect that nobody can add anything. So he gave him compliment, and at the same time, you gave no room for adding anything. So Rabbi Shimon could not add anything after him. Can you imagine? What you just heard, it's called Sitra Torah. It's called forbidden part of Kabbalah, what you just heard. But don't worry about it. Only thing that can happen to you, you're going to forget it tomorrow or even tonight. You're not going to remember that, even if you try. You're going to look at your computer, read, and then remember. So that's part of the Sitra Torah of Kabbalah. But the important for me to share it with you, because I feel most people don't know that in every section of the Torah, there's so many secrets, so simple to understand. Now I understand Red Effer. Now understanding has to do with the five final letters. Is there any question among you before I move on? Good. Don't raise your hand. Just ask. Yeah, please. Breastfeeding was I don't know a lot about breastfeeding, but I will tell you that the klipot get feed by us, like we breastfeed the klipot, but we are a messenger of the klipot. You don't get angry when you choose to. They make you angry so you can feed them. That's how it works. I mean, if I would have the time and the money and everything, we have to create a cartoon movie. People understand this universe that actually it's not us to choose. There is entity around us, klipot. They, if we don't give them energy, they die. So they convince you to do the wrong thing so they can benefit. So they breastfeed from us.
Okay.
Very sad. Yeah. So what do we do, right? What do we do? And this is taking us, how do we start? We don't have red effort. What's the best thing you can do? What is the best thing you can do with your life right now without the red effort? And I found this also here in Zohar Chukat. Shocking. Like, shocking that I saw it and I didn't see it. And it's like this. It's in verse 70. Vayi bayom ha-shlishi, v'tilbash Esther Malchut, in the third day of when she fast. I don't know if you know the story of the Megillah. You should all read it. Esther fast for people not to die after Haman put a decree to kill all the Jews in Iran, in Persia, not in Iran. And she decided to fast and then go to the king with no permission. And those days, if you go to the king with no permission, they take your head off. Doesn't matter who you are. Head off. Not only she went to the king, she wasn't that gorgeous. 3 days of fasting. So it's she was 3 days of fasting. 3 days of fasting. She's dying almost, right? Like that. That's how you go to the king. But of course, it's cold. Only cold. So it's only cold. So what does that mean? In the third day. So she comes with her spirit, not with her body, say the Zohar. The Zohar teaching us to show you that you have to come with the spirit. But what kind of spirit? And then it's written, and Esther dressed with kingdom, malchut. Kingdom in malchut. She dressed with malchut. Code, all code. She dressed with malchut. Mao malchut? How do you dress with malchut? You take the sphere of malchut and you dress it? What is it? Maybe you should say with beautiful clothes. Maybe malchut mean beautiful clothes. Say the Zohar. Elunam nekraim ken v'shem malchut. No. The Zohar disagree. Rabbi Shimon say no. Not true. אלה תלבש את המלכות פירושה. What does that mean? נפשם במלכות העליונה, קדושה ותלת שעור הקדוש, במלכות נקראת כל זה. She took the מלכות from above the real sphere of מלכות, and she dressed with that. It wasn't clothing, it was energy. She dressed with it. But why? What, how come a woman, first woman ever, ever in the Bible, to take sphira and put it on her? First woman. Why? Why she? From all women. It was Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah. It was big. Why her? שזכתה למקום זה. Why her was married that? I'm continuing with verse 70, chapter 2. You know when, you want to know why? ומשום ששמרה פיה שלא להגיד כלום. She was quiet. You want to know the secret of Esther? She was quiet. Women love to talk. Women love to talk. About what? You never know why. But they love to talk. You're going to understand the subject later. But they love to do. When it starts, the title comes after. It's not like men. First the title, then the conversation with women. And I'm sorry if I'm hurting people. You have a conversation, then they add it to a title. So you ever see a man and woman start a conversation in a restaurant? It's very funny. I always like to watch. So when a woman talk, you see the man get nervous because he doesn't know where to put it. Which title is it under? Honey, are we talking about the money, the tax, the house you want to want, the car, the thing? No, I don't know. I just want to talk. And it's talk. And you see the man is getting tired, like he doesn't know where does it belong yet. So he doesn't know where. It's very funny. I love to watch. So you want to know Esther's secret? She zip it. How do we know it? Because it's saying in the Megillah, Esther doesn't say where she come from. She didn't want to tell people she's Jewish. But Lamadnu, and we study, call me Shomer Pi Velshono. Tell us the Zohar, we study. Whoever able to keep his mouth shut and his tongue, and not to talk at all, not to talk, not just not to talk bad, not to talk, is for sure going to have the sphere of Malchut, give him Ruach HaKodesh. And he become prophet. And of course, whoever allowed the mouth to speak bad, then if he speak Lashon Hara, that's a problem, because at that time the snakes start to control him. Speaking Lashon Hara, speaking bad about people, it's not because it's bad morality-wise. It's bad because you connect to the snake. And for that reason, in this week portion, you see that the snake attacked the Israelites because they complained about the food. So now we understand a big secret. What is the big secret? We understand that basically the whole idea of this week portion, as I say, about love and about red effort to remove negativity. And because we don't have real effort, the best thing we can do is to shut up. How do you be spiritual? Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Before I leave, I remind everybody that on Thursday, I have a webinar, am I saying it correctly, for half an hour. Everybody is welcome to listen. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. All the best.